anyone who was not here yesterday that didn't get a course outline. You didn't see me at some point during the day. Okay, so everyone has that. Okay. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about everything that I wanted to yesterday, so I want to go through these pretty quickly. So first thing off is I have this thing hanging off my ear, and it's a Bluetooth microphone. And this class, every day, we're going to podcast the class. We're going to record what happens in our classroom, and then we're going to publish that on the internet. It'll be accessible through our class blog, and I'll show you once we start publishing. We'll have today's, and then you'll see it. I'll show you tomorrow where it is on the blog. And if you wanted to download it and listen to it, and if you had, now the purpose of that is if you have trouble doing your homework, or if you miss class for some reason, or whatever it is, at least you'll have access to that. It does not replace being here, because there's a big difference between listening to this and being here. Being here is a much better thing to do. But it is going to give you at least one more resource that you'll have to help you if you need to review something for exams, or if you're away sick or have a doctor's appointment, you can catch up so you can listen to it. I don't know that I'm going to record necessarily the full class every day, but certainly the part of the class that's instructional, we'll record that part for certain. So that's what this is about. So we're going to be podcasting our class every day. We'll also make it subscribable in iTunes if that's something you want to do. And not necessarily the most compelling listening, but if you need the review, it's a good thing to have. So yesterday I got a chance to introduce myself to all of you. So I am Mr. Kiripakula, or Mr. K, you can call me. Either one's good. We talked briefly yesterday about this, well, actually, it was a video yesterday. Did everybody see this video? No. Well, here it is.
Whoa, that's not good.
Oh, I don't need this. I'm already late.
Somebody will come. Anybody out there?
Do you have a phone?
No. Sorry. Somebody! Hello! There are two people stuck on an escalator, and we need help. Now, would somebody please do something?
You're the only group that didn't even chuckle once. What did you think about these people on the escalator when it stopped? Would you have done anything different? Walk. Yeah, escalator stops. Walk. What's wrong with these people? Why? Okay, let me quick check. Did anybody find this humorous even a wee little bit? Is anything funny about that video? Nothing. Nothing funny about that. Boy, tough room. This is a real tough room. Anything weird about the way they behaved in that video? How many people think that those two folks were perfectly normal and would have done exactly the same thing they did? No one. Okay, how many of you would have done something different? Four of you. Oh, a little more. So raise your hands high. You would have done something different. I'm curious about the hands that don't go up. Okay. Okay, so we got everybody would have done something different, and the different thing is you would have walked up the staircase. So what does that have to do with school? Being late? Go on. J- just about being late. So you, if your elevator stops, you might be late. I mean, your escalator. If your escalator stops, you might be late. If you don't move, okay. There's this, some students, unfortunately maybe many students, have an attitude like this. They walk into class, they sit down, I'm here, teach me. Learning is not a spectator sport. Math certainly isn't a spectator sport, and if you come to my class thinking that you're just going to sit there and listen and do nothing, you're not going to learn anything. Like these people, they have the escalator, which helps to make it convenient for them to get from the bottom to the top. But when the escalator stops, then they got to do something themselves. They actually have to walk, put one foot in front of the other, and move. And it's just an escalator. Now, what does it have to do with school? Well, for me, your teacher is there to help you along, to get from the beginning of a course at the bottom of the escalator, where maybe you don't know all the course content, to get you to the top, where you've learned a lot. But the teacher's not going to carry you the whole way. The teacher's only going to help so far. You have to learn to walk and maybe even run on your own. So if you come into my class and sit down and say, I'm here, teach me. Well, I'm trying, but you're not going to learn. Teaching or learning is not a passive thing. Learning is a conversation. If you're not talking to somebody about what you're learning, and if you're not doing the work to learn, then you're not going to learn. That's what I think that has to do with school. It's a really, remember the escalator. Because if you want to succeed in my course, then you need to walk up the escalator. You're not going to get carried. You won't be successful in this course just by showing up. Showing up is important. You need to be here. But if you're not here, you're not going to make it. Who heard this story yesterday? Who didn't? Very fast. It's an ancient Greek legend. Sisyphus was a highwayman. He was a thief. He would hide by the side of the road. When people went by, he'd knock them down. Sometimes he'd beat them or he'd kill them even and take their stuff. This is not a true story. It's a myth. It's a legend. And he also had like a hotel. He'd invite people to stay at his house. And then when they were sleeping at night, he'd kill them and take their stuff. So Sisyphus was a bad guy. When it came time that Sisyphus was to die, he was collected. In ancient Greece, you know, they had Hades was the god of the underworld. Hades is both a person and a place. It's the underworld and the guy who was in charge of the underworld. So he would send death, Thanatos. You've seen the guy, right, in the black hood at Halloween. He always comes out, right? People dress, you know, like that, with the scythe and all that. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so that was Thanatos. And he went to pick up Sisyphus, and so he had these chains. He was going to lock him in what we would call handcuffs. Sisyphus says, well, show me how they work. And he ends up locking death, Thanatos, in the handcuffs, throws him in a back room of his house, which ticks off the guard of war, Ares. Ares gets ticked off because he's having war and no one's dying. Not fun for him anymore. I mean, very strange idea of fun. But anyways, so he goes and he gets ticked off and he frees Thanatos and Sisyphus gets brought down to the underworld. Now, Sisyphus had prearranged with his wife not to give him a proper burial. So he goes and he argues with Hades, the lord of the underworld, and he says, you got to let me go back to the land of the living because I didn't get a proper burial. I got to talk to my wife. She should show proper respect for the dead. Now, Hades looks like an idiot in this story because he says yes, and he lets him go. And so he goes back up, and he says, I ain't going back. Then Hades gets good and ticked off all over again and sends Ares, the messenger of the gods, to go pick him up and bring him down into the underworld. So now everybody's ticked off with Sisyphus, and so he's punished. And the punishment is he's down in the underworld, and there's this big mountain and a giant boulder at the bottom of the mountain. And it's Sisyphus's job to roll that boulder to the top of the mountain. His task will be done when he gets it to the top. So you can kind of see him straining and inching it, literally, step by step, up this mountain. The boulder's enchanted, so that every time it's almost at the top, it rolls down to the bottom. Now, this happened 2,500 years ago, and so the myth goes he's still doing this today. He turns around, he walks down to the bottom of the mountain, and he starts rolling that boulder again, up, 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 just gets to the top, it's enchanted, so it rolls down. It doesn't actually make it to the top. And so he never gets upset. He just kind of calmly turns down, walks back down the mountain, starts rolling it up again. He's been doing that all day, every day, for 2,500 years, so the myth goes. So is Sisyphus a villain, a victim, or a hero? And we didn't answer those questions yesterday, but I will ask you for your answers to those questions. So think, which one is he and why? Is he a victim? Is he a villain? This may be one of the easier ones to answer. Is he a victim? Is he a hero? And we'll get back to that later. Okay? On your course outlines that I gave you yesterday, one of the first things I talked about was be on time, the critical path to success. You want to be successful in this class, any class really, you got to be on time for class. I have only one policy or rule in my class, and that's be polite. As long as you're polite with me and I'm polite with you, we'll work through whatever may come up. I can't imagine anything will. Okay? As long as we're all, I mean, how many people, this is a quick show of hands, how many people like to get to the end of this course and as a final mark, to examine everything, as a final mark, would like to have as a final mark between 80 and 100%? How many of you would like that? I'm watching for the hands that don't go up again. Well, that's good. So that's everybody, which is good. It means we're all on the same page and we all want the same thing. So if you want that, these are the things that you do to do that. Be on time for class. Don't be late. You should be here a little bit early. Class typically will start, not like this, class typically will start with some questions. At 9 o'clock, we'll usually have mental math right away. And there'll be 10 questions there. If you're late, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it because I'm only going to give you just a few minutes to work on the 10 questions. And it's 10 questions every day. Okay? So don't be late because you'll miss that. And when we talk about time, the semester is supposed to have 100 days. It doesn't actually have 100 days. This course was given 110 hours, is what they say from the ministry. This is a 110-hour course. And if we have about an hour a day, and there's 100 days in a semester, we're already behind the eight ball. But in fact, there's not. There's more like 96 or 97. But then when you work in things like bus ridership and pictures and Spirits Week and pep rallies or all, you know, assemblies, different reasons why we might miss class, we're probably working off something more like 80. But there's 8 units or 8 tests. Well, when you have a test, there's no kind of learning we're doing because during that whole class, you're writing a test. So it's more like 72 classes that you have to get through this course. So that's kind of important that you're on time and that when we're here, we're actually focused on getting that 80 to 100% goal because we don't really have a whole lot of time. Okay? 12 is another important number, so those of you, you probably heard it already, but just in case I want to make it clear, if you miss 12 classes, you cannot get credit for this course. Not possible. You will lose your credit. Now, these are some other important numbers. 2 is an important number because if you miss 2 classes, then I'm going to call home. Just to say, hey, what's happening with so-and-so, your son or daughter? I'm a little worried. They've missed 2 classes. What's up? The 5 and 8 are important because that's when you get a letter home, and it gets, you know, progressively more serious. A letter will be sent home from the school to your parents saying your son or daughter has missed 5 classes. It's possible that they're developing a pattern of missing too much class, and this may jeopardize their coursework. By eight absences, that's within 4 more, you're going to lose your credit, and the letter will talk about that, saying that the student is approaching jeopardizing their credit. At 12, another letter goes home saying that's it, the credit's been lost. So you don't want to miss class. If you have a doctor's appointment or something, that's why you might be absent for class. Right? If something comes up, an emergency or something, but don't choose to miss class. That's going to work against you when you really need it. What do you need? Student will always arrive to class prepared, and this is also on that critical path to success. There's all the stuff you're going to need. You don't need a graphing calculator, actually. You just need a calculator. Who knows how to use a keyboard? You're kidding. No one? Oh, thank you. the only student that knows how to use a keyboard? You've seen them before, yes? Keyboards have buttons, letters on them. When you type, it types, yeah? Guys, if you think that the whole class is going to be me talking, I mean, today I'll do a little talking, but this is not the way class works. You need to communicate back with me, okay? Would you hit the delete key? Thank you. Beautiful. You only need a scientific calculator. As a matter of fact, why don't we change that? Why don't you give a click over here? You do the mouse. Just give a click here. May have to click twice. Excellent. And would you type scientific? Okay. Excellent. You're good. We'll go back here and insert arrow once to the right. I. Perfect. Scientific calculator is all you need. Okay, you don't need a graphing calculator. You do need a three-ring binder. Fill it up full of loose leaf. That's where you're going to do all your mental math work, your in-class assignments, your homework, etc. You're going to need another. Pardon me. You're going to need another notebook, and hopefully something with holes so it'll fit into your three-ring binder. Can I demo yours again? I really like the one. It's John, yeah. No, James. I really like the binder that James has, okay, because it has this zipper on it. So he's got stuff in here. Whoops. And actually, he doesn't have anything here that's going to fall out just yet. But, you know, I've asked you to get a calculator. You're going to have to get a geometry set as well. And the nice thing about this is when you zipper it up, you're not going to lose anything, okay? So that's a good one. And also, it's big enough so that you can take that other notebook and stick it in there too. This is going to be your math dictionary. Every time we learn a new concept, maybe a formula, definitions, whatever it is, it'll be up on the smart board. You copy it into your math dictionary, and that's worth about 10% of your class mark. It's pretty much free marks. You just got to keep that notebook clean and neat and up to date. No pictures of, you know, Metallica or notes to your boyfriend and girlfriend or anything like that. Just, you know, the stuff that I tell you goes into your math dictionary. It has to come to class every day. See, your end of the deal is you're going to keep the notes up, and I'm just going to get, my end is I'm going to give you those 10%. You can actually go home today and say, you know, Mom, Dad, I already got 10% in math. I'm just working on the last 90. As long as you do keep that clean and neat and up to date, you've got that 10%. I collect it when I feel like it. Like one day I'll walk in and I'll go, oh, I feel like collecting dictionaries today, and I will. And if you don't have it here, then you're going to get zero. If you have it here, I'll go, I'll check, I'll see what you've got in there. If you've got everything, you get 100%. If you don't, you won't. I may never collect it again. That may be the only time I collect it. I may collect it 12 times over the course of the night. I do it when I feel like it. But it has to be here. Don't tell me it's in your locker. Don't tell me, oh, it's at home on the desk on the left side under the lamp. I can picture it. I said, that's nice. But it needs to be here. Yes, your end of the bargain. Keep it clean, neat, up to date, and make sure it's here every day. When you're doing your homework, it'll be a useful thing to have open beside you as well. 12 pencils. All your work in class should be done in pencil. All your homework should be done in pencil, not in pen. Why 12? Well, 2 will go into your binder and 10 will go into your locker. Because as you eat, chew, mangle, and otherwise destroy your pencils, you always have a backup. Once you've finished eating the 2 pencils, you can replace them with pencils from your locker. Once you've eaten through all 12, you can then go out and buy another dozen. Now, I'm not coming to your locker and I'm not going to check. So it's conceivable that you're going to go, this Mr. K guy's crazy, I'm buying one pencil, I'll be good. And you go out and you buy one pencil, and you work that sucker down to this tiny, itsy, bitsy, teeny, weeny little nub, you know, by the time we get to the end of the course. And as long as you can write with it and I can read it, we're good. But Lord help you the day you don't have a pencil, because I said get 12. Colored pencils you don't have to get, but I strongly recommend that you get colored pencils. When I give notes, I often use color in a meaningful way. Different colors mean different things. And you may want to emulate that. You don't have to, but it's definitely advantageous to do that. Students that have been in my class in the past have always found that they prefer having the colored pencils. Now, when you get the color, or now also in your dictionary, if you want to write in pen in the dictionary, that's okay. That's the only place to be okay to write in pen. So if you want to get, you know, some colored pens or something, that's good too. Thing is, people like to buy these neon things. So like some people that write all in this, you know, sunshine yellow, You open that sucker up, the sun comes up in your face, and you can't, you go blind from the neon. So let's use like really dark colors, you know, like tree bark brown, deep sea blue, and forest green. Okay? Those are the kinds of colors that we'd like to see. One student, this is a true story, wrote in white ink on white paper once. Thought that would be cute. And they handed in their dictionary. And I opened it and I said, there's nothing here. And she said, oh, it's there. It's all in white ink. I can read it. I said, that's wonderful. And I gave it back to her. That I said, it's good you can read it, but I can't. And so I can't correct it. So stay away from white ink on white paper. Okay? And the neon stuff, dark colors. Okay. Your homework. There's a math joke in there, by the way. If you look closely, you'll see there's a math joke in there. You should always attempt all of your homework assignments. That means you should try them. I don't expect you're going to get every question correct. I expect you're going to have trouble with some questions. But you have to at least try, because you don't know what's difficult, what you're not going to be able to do or not. So attempt all of your homework questions every night and identify the ones you had trouble with and ask me about them in class. If you don't ask, there's no way for me to know what you're having trouble with. I actually think that the best thing that you can do in my class or on your homework is make a mistake. That's the best thing you can do. Because if you're making a mistake when we're doing classwork, or if you're making a mistake when you're doing homework, then you know what you need to learn, and you know what question you need to ask. Now, if you don't make any mistakes ever, well, you don't really need to be here, do you? Because then you would know all this stuff already. Now, if you really want to ramp this up and impress me, the most phenomenal thing you can do in class is share your mistake. Because if you made that mistake, guaranteed sure there's like six other people in the room that's made the same mistake. They may not, you know, feel strong enough to say something about it. And when you share that mistake, number one, you're going to learn, which is what you need, and you're helping out at least five or six other people. Okay? So it's really, really important to make mistakes. I had one student in one of my classes who, when doing classwork, I would walk by, and they'd be working on a problem, and every time I would come by, you know, checking one-on-one, try to help individual students individually, and when I came by that particular student's desk, he covered up all his work. I said, well, you know, let me have a look. You know, I'll see how you're doing. I can give you a hand. And he said, no. I'm not making this up. It's a true story. And I said, you understand that if you don't let me see your mistakes, you can't ever fix them? Like, you're not going to learn if you don't make mistakes? He says, I don't want you to see. I mean, I wasn't going to have an argument with him. Okay? But that's not the way to learn. And unfortunately, that student wasn't as successful as they could have been. Okay? Really important to share your mistakes. Review your class notes every night before going to bed. So this math dictionary that I was telling you about, you should read that every night before you go to bed. It'll help you sleep. Aside from that, it also has to do with how your brain works. You should know something about how your brain works. When you come into a class, in any class at all, and these are links, and this is going to be on our class blog, and you'll be able to click these links and get more information about these things online. But when you come in, you don't know anything. And at the end of a one-hour lecture, you've got 100% of what the teacher was trying to teach you in that class. The thing is, the way your brain works is you immediately start forgetting what was taught to you in that one-hour class. And so by the next day, you will have forgotten somewhere between 50 and 80% of what you learned in that class. In 7 days down the road, you're lucky to remember about 20% of what was taught in that first class. And 30 days down the road, you're lucky to remember maybe 2% of what you had learned. Problem for you is that was one class, and the exam isn't 30 days away. The exam's 5 months away. And the next day is another class, and another class, and another class, and another class, and this keeps going on. So how do you stop the curve of forgetting from tanking on you, you review your notes. Now, the first time you review, it's going to take longer. So it looks like this in your math dictionary. You're kind of looking at it and you're going, okay. I'm not telling you to do anything crazy. Like, just read your notes, okay? Read what you learned in that class that day. Maybe you want to listen to the podcast, whatever it is. But do something, okay? The second time, if you review again, after you've reviewed once, the second time it's going to go a lot faster. You kind of go, okay, got that. A week into this, you're like, got it, okay. Oh, what was it? Yeah, oh, I remember, okay. That's what it looks like if you're doing it every day. If you wait until right before the exam, now when you're reviewing, you kind of bring what you learned back up close to 100%. But you start forgetting again, you review, take less time to review, but you get it back up, you know, you start forgetting and so on, okay? If you're not doing this, then this is what's happening. This is how your brain works, okay? All humans have their brains working like this. You don't want to be on this black curve. You want to be on the gold one, okay? Lots of questions. Ask lots and lots and lots of questions. Particularly if I say something or we do something in class and you're like, what? Like, don't ever walk out of this room thinking, man, I don't know what he was talking about in class today, without first talking to me and arranging so that we have a conversation. Usually if you do that same day, the conversation is maybe 2 minutes, maybe. Usually 2 to 5 minutes. If you let it drag day after day after day, the next day builds on the previous day, and so on and so on and so on, and you start digging yourself a hole, and it's harder and harder to get out of it. So make sure you ask lots of questions. Here's what else that happens when you ask a question. Two things. Number one, if you ask a question, here's what your classmates think of you. A lot of students are afraid of asking questions because they think their classmates will think they're stupid because they asked a question and they didn't know something. Well, let me tell you guys something. There's a whole lot you don't know. That's why you're in school. School's about learning. And if you're not asking questions, you're not learning. You're sitting here, teach me, and that's not going to fly. Okay? So here's what happens to your classmates when you ask the question. For whatever reason, they may have been scared of asking the question themselves. So the six people around you, and there's always at least six others. If you didn't get it, there's at least six others that didn't. They look at you and go, wow, I am so glad they asked that question because I needed that answer too. You become a hero to your classmates. Here's how I react to a student who asks questions. Like, ooh, smart kid. Ask questions. This student knows what they don't know and they're doing everything they can to fix that. And I'm impressed. Here's what happens if you don't ask a question. You get confused. You don't know what's going on. You get a homework assignment. You might try to do it, but then you get that bad feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you get frustrated. Maybe you start to kind of sweat a little bit if it's just before a test. Certainly exam time, it's too much. You get overwhelmed, and you're like that lady on the escalator. Help! And no one hears you. Compare that to asking lots of questions. Hero to your classmates, impress the heck out of your teacher. You choose. Like I said, always get help. Extra help from me anytime you need it. You can come see me before class in the morning. I'm available at lunch or after school. We can always make a point. Don't ever leave without talking to me if you're confused about something. But get the help you need. Do you know, I'm going to pick on you just for a second. What's your name? Melchor. Do you know anybody who's sitting around this young lady here? Do you know any of these people? Do you know anyone who's sitting at that part of the classroom over there? Do you know any of those people? You don't know any of those people? Okay. You know what would be a really good idea? Is I think you should find one, or all of you should go find one or two people to be in your study group. And you should meet at least once a week. And meeting might mean, you know, you go at lunch and have lunch together in the cafeteria and do your homework together. That's it. No big deal. Doesn't have to be painful. But they should be people you're not friends with. And not more than three. Three is a study group, four is a social occasion. Okay? And it's better if they're people you don't know. Because if they're people you don't know, so Melchor, it'd be good if you chose one of the people from here and one of the people from there. Similarly for you folks and you folks. Choose people you don't know because then you're kind of going to get down to business. It's not a social occasion. You should kind of decide that, like today, tomorrow at the latest, pick your study group, make that time, like maybe Wednesdays is the day that you want to meet in the cafeteria, have lunch, do your homework, whatever it is. But if you want to be successful, this is a really important way. I'll tell you why. I had a student in grade 7 once, and I thought I had given, I was teaching grade 7, and I was teaching how to divide fractions. And I thought I had given the clearest explanation in the world. I was impressed with myself. And I said, okay, so when you have two fractions, right, and you want to divide, leave the first one alone. Don't divide. Multiply by the reciprocal. Just flip the second one around, multiply across the top, multiply across the bottom, and you're done. Well, this young lady in the front row says to me, oh, Mr. K, can you run that by me again? Sure. I said, you got two fractions with a division sign in between. The second one, turn it around and multiply. Right across the top, right across the bottom. I thought that was really clear. She says, I'm sorry, Mr. K. And she's not fooling. She's trying to learn. And we go through this 5, 6, 7 times, and I try and explain it differently every time. Finally, her friend turns to her and says, look, just flip the second one and multiply them across. And she goes, oh. Now, I don't know why this is. You may have had that phenomenon occur to you. I don't know. But students, when a teacher says it for some reason, they don't get it. Student says exactly the same thing, and somehow they get it. Really good idea to have a study group. Okay? That helps too. Homework should be a habit. And if it's not your habit to do your homework, you need to create that habit. So find some spot in your home, or maybe it's the library, maybe it's the cafeteria, whatever it is that you do, but find a time every day that you're going to go to that place at that same time, and that's when you're going to do your homework. And commit for the next 3 weeks, that's what you're going to do every day. Make it an experiment for the next 3 weeks. But what you'll find is that you've created a habit. How many of you have a friend's telephone number? You don't know the number, but you know you could dial it up now, no problem. How many people have that experience? Or maybe you have an experience with your friend's house. Like, you know where your friend lives? Like, to go there? No problem. But if I ask you the address, I don't know the address. How many people have that experience? Yeah, it's called kinesthetic learning, body learning. Okay? Your thumb knows the telephone number. You know, your body knows the physical space of where your friend's house is located. You can train your body so that it needs to be in a place doing a thing at a time, doing your homework at a certain time in a certain place. Do it for 3 weeks and teach your body that that's what you should be doing, so that if the day comes that you're not there at that time, you kind of feel wrong. You say, I should get there. Train yourself to do that. We have a class blog. This is our class blog. There it is. This is it. This is on the internet now. All of you are going to be members of our class blog. And it's still, I just need to move that aside a little bit. So what you see is I've gotten an email from Joyce. I just realized, Joyce, we need to remove your last name. Okay, just first name is only last initial. Okay, so I mean, that in a way that's kind of good, so we can all talk about that. Your name should... Your name should only be your first name, never your last name. You could put a last initial. And what you're going to have to do tonight, and what we're going to have here is every day the slides that we've created on the smart board of what we've learned that day, they will be published on the blog. And every day a different student will be what we call the class scribe. So the responsibility of the class scribe is to write something on the blog that describes briefly what did you learn in class that day. That's it. That's the assignment. Yes, ma'am.
Did you download the latest version for SmartBoard or not?
I haven't yet. Thanks for letting me know.
But you have to uninstall the previous version before
you Thanks. Okay. So each of you will be the class scribe, and you will just write a summary of what you learned in class today. That's all. And then when you're done, we'll have this list of students in the class, and you just randomly pick a name, and you end your scribe post by saying, tomorrow's scribe is. and the next student will, the next day, and that class, at the end, they will write a summary of what they learned in class. How many of you can or have sent an email? Never sent an email? Never sent an email? Never? Okay. Have you ever sent an email? Never sent an email? Never sent an email? Never sent an email? Anybody else? Never? Have you ever sent an email? Sent an email? You've never written an email, or you have, or you have not? You have. You have? You have? You have? You have? Yes? You've never written an email message to anybody. You've never written an email message to anybody. You have. You have. Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I get a word of the day?
At some point, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
I'll get a word of the day. Okay. You bet. Okay, so those of you who have never sent an email, I'll do a demo in class and I'll show you how it's done. But as far as writing this blog post goes, it's about as difficult as sending an email. How many of you have used a computer on the internet before? You've never used a computer on the internet? You have. Okay. So all of you have used a computer on the internet. So this is on the internet. And how many of you have used a word processing document, Microsoft Word, on a computer before? You have written in a word processing document. Okay, that's excellent. If you can type in a word processing document, you can do it, because that's what it looks like. It looks like typing in a word processing document. It's the same thing. The only difference is that instead of having the software on your computer, it's through your web browser. So you would use your web browser instead of launching Microsoft Word or something. You would just launch your web browser. I would suggest Firefox rather than Explorer, but we'll get there. And you just go to a certain address, type in your username and password, and you're in business. And then you just type. This is what I learned in class today. Tomorrow's scribe is, and you choose a name. That's it. If you think, now, we will have textbooks eventually, not right at the start, but your assignment in this class is not to read the textbook. Your assignment is to write the textbook. Each student will take one day and write one page of the textbook. And that page is, what did you learn in class that day? Just write a summary of what you learned in class that day. And then choose the next student. Over the course of the entire semester in the next 5 months, you'll all do it three times. So you'll contribute three pages. You might do as many as four. But it probably won't be more than that, okay? And that's it. And then when you're done, you're going to have a textbook that's been written by students for students all about this class, all about this course, okay? And we'll discuss a little bit more about it tomorrow. So I'm going to ask for a volunteer. Actually, is it okay if I volunteer you today, Joyce? You'll be today's scribe, okay? And then you randomly choose a name. I'll have a list up there before the night's done, or we'll settle it in class tomorrow morning for who will be scribed tomorrow. Okay, so Joyce is going to write a summary of what happened in today's class. We do not have a scribe on days that we have tests. So if tomorrow is a test and Joyce is scribed today, she writes her scribe post, she chooses the next scribe, but they won't scribe on the test day, they'll scribe for the following day. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's what that's all about. By the way, also on the blog, this answer tips is an interesting tool that we have on the blog. If you were to click on any word in this post, so for example, if you double click on anything on our blog, a screen pops up. If you don't know what that word means, well, this tells you what the word means. If you want to hear what it sounds like.
Conversation.
You click that and it says the word for you. And if you want to know more about it, well, then there's more links that you can follow to learn more about that word. So that means that every single word you type has that functionality, and you can learn more about anything. So if there's a word that we're using in class that you're really not sure about, and you saw the scribe type that word, double-click on it, and you'll get this automatically. You don't have to do anything to make this happen. This happens automatically on our class blog. As time goes on, we're going to get more and more tools on our class blog. But we need to talk a little bit about digital ethics before we do that. So this is going to become a very, very important piece of our class. Down here, this is a map showing where we've been visited on, and this big red circle is Winnipeg, because many of you looked at this last night. So the more time people look at it. Now, it looks like we've been visited from around New York as well. And in time, we're probably going to have visitors from across the world reading what you're writing about what you're learning, because they'll be learning from you. Okay, so you have an audience that spans the globe. Down here, there are links. There's an online math dictionary, a math encyclopedia. There's Dr. Math. And I really, if you don't like the answers I'm giving you to the questions you ask, then you go ahead and you ask Dr. Math. Okay? It's there for you. It's a real thing. When we draw graphs, there's a tool that you can use to do it right in your web browser. The link is right here. There's a series of online tools. We'll talk about this later. If you're having trouble with study skills or test-taking skills, lots of good stuff in those links. These links will not change. These are permanent. Okay? And down here we have labels. Now, if you look at this, this is the first post that was written. I wrote it, so I put a label on it. It doesn't recognize my name. surprise, surprise. I put a label, I put my name on it. I put that it was the slides, and I put that it was also homework. When you write a scribe post, you're going to put your name, just your first name, okay? Your first name, you're going to put scribe, and then you're going to put the unit that we're studying at that time. And then it's automatically going to create labels here. So here's what happens. If you want to find just your stuff, and over the course of the semester you will can make several contributions to the blog, you click on your name and it loads only your stuff. If you want to see only the slides from our class, then you would click on the label slides and it's going to load all the slides and only the slides. If you're studying for a test, for a unit test, the first unit we're studying is called personal banking. And if you click the label personal banking, it will load everything about personal banking and only personal banking into the blog. All the scribe posts, all the resources that I'm also going to contribute, because every now and again I write something I call links for learning, where I'll pull in stuff from all over the internet and bring it into one spot on our blog, saying, look, here's an online quiz you can take. Here's a place that they have a review of what we were talking about in class. Here's where you can see an animation of what we were talking about. Okay? So this is going to become an incredibly valuable resource to you, but it's only as good as you make it, because you're creating it, each of you one day at a time. Okay? So and there's more down here. This is the archive. This is everything that we write gets archived here. So you can always go back if you want to look at it by month or by post. So there's that. Let's go back to this. So that's the blog. That's the URL for our blog. It's consumermath20sfall07.blogspot.com, cm20sf07.blogspot.com. Okay? That's where you can find our blog online. Now, one of the things you're going to have to do, and everybody has to do this, is you have to create a Google account. So I made a little video for you. My allergies were terrible when I made this video. So I'm going to stop this, actually. Eventually. When you go home, these slides will be online. And if you click on that text, it's going to take you to the video, which is online. And it'll show you. It's less than 5 minutes long. This video will show you two things: how to create a Google account, and once, how many of you have Google accounts? Okay, good. So you'll all get a Google account. And when you get your Google account, I would recommend you also get Gmail, Google Mail. When you create your Google Mail account, make your username in Gmail, choose your first name, and then CM20S, Consumer Math 20S. Guaranteed there's no one else in the world that has that as a last name, CM20S, promise. Okay? And so you'll probably get that, you know, it's probably safe to use. And that's it. Does that make sense? As a matter of fact, why not use CM20SF07 as a last name? Because that letter combination is going to be used again and again and again in our course. Okay? So that's something you're not going to forget easily. So your first name, and then CM20SF06. Create that as a username, the video shows you how to create a Google account, and then it shows you how to create a Gmail account. Okay? It's less than 5 minutes long. Okay? Once you've got that, you then want to create a Blogger account, another video. Now, this video is about 3 minutes long, and you do this after you have the Google account. Okay, let me try. Let's see if we can see it online. Here it is, the same thing online. This is now on the internet. And what I wanted to show you is there was a point when I made this video where it kind of... You see, you can kind of control this. Well, there was a time, I got about 2 minutes in, when I got, you know, it was taking a long time to load. So there's about a minute worth here where there's this blank screen. So if you want to kind of hustle it through, you know, you can listen to me ramble, or you can kind of hustle it along until we get some action, which is around here, and then it takes another minute before I actually get the page to load. And that's when we get to the end of the video. So there's a chunk in here that's kind of blank space, and you can hustle through the video if you want to, okay, the way I just showed you. Does that make sense? Just point and click. Okay. So, again, you click up there, and it'll take you to that video. That's less than 3 minutes long, or about 3 minutes long, okay? And so you're going to create a Google account, get a Gmail account, your first name with last name, CM20SF07, okay, that'll be your username. Then get a Blogger account. This shows you how, step by step. And then once that's done, that's pretty much your homework for tonight, I guess, because we're not going to be able to get through everything I'd like to. Sisyphus, I had asked you at the beginning of class, villain, victim, or hero? How many people say he's a villain? Villain. Anyone want to tell me why this guy is a villain? You know what a villain is, yeah? What's a villain? Bad guy, okay. Why is he a villain? Yeah, he killed people. Pretty miserable human being to kill another person. Okay, is he a victim? How many people think he might be a victim? Well, here's something that someone shared. Look, he's a bad guy, and he deserves a punishment. There's no question. But forever? Like pushing that rock forever? Like, never stop pushing? Like, he's dead, right? He's in the underworld. Like, forever he's going to be pushing that rock. Maybe we feel a little bit bad for Sisyphus after a while. Like, forever? He gets to the top of the mountain. He's almost finished. And it rolls down every time. Isn't that kind of cruel? The purpose of the punishment was to make Sisyphus feel defeated. The purpose of the punishment was to make Sisyphus feel that what he's doing is useless and absurd. But what about a hero? Is there any way this guy's a hero? Anybody? I think he is. Here's how I think he's a hero. It has to do with the rock. Because he pushes that rock, right? And you can kind of just picture him sweating with dust all over him, rolling this rock inch by inch to the top. He's been doing this for thousands of years. And it just gets in and rolls down to the bottom. I don't know about you, but it wouldn't take me thousands of years. It probably would only take me a very short period of time before, like the lady on the escalator, I might scream. I might get really upset, be frustrated, might even break down. That's not what Sisyphus does. Sisyphus calmly turns around and walks to the bottom of the hill and starts again. Now, he knows that when he starts pushing, he knows he's going to fail. He knows when he gets to the top, he knows he has been set up to fail. The whole purpose of that punishment is to convince him that he's a failure. But he never gives the satisfaction. He never gives the satisfaction. He never says, I'm going to give up and break down. He stays calm every time. And he gets to the bottom of the hill, and he's facing this hill again, and he starts pushing that boulder up. What does that have to do with you? When you are faced with this mountain of homework, and you're feeling, you know, because your other courses, you have other courses too, and you have this mountain of homework, and you're feeling overwhelmed, and like you can't do anything. Remember Sisyphus. What's different between you and Sisyphus is he's set up to fail. You are being set up to succeed. Everything about this class has been designed and organized very intentionally to give you every tool and every opportunity to succeed. But if you come to class and you sit down and you say, I'm here, teach me, you're going to fail. If you get involved, ask questions, talk to each other, talk to me, participate in the class blog. When it's your turn to make a contribution, make it a good one. You've got you all wanted between 80 and 100% in this course. So we're all on the same page as far as that goes. Well, now you know what you have to do. This is the critical path to success. Form the study group. Do your homework every night. That doesn't mean you get every question right. It means you try. Choose the same place and time every day that you're doing your homework. Be on time for class. All those things. Remember Sisyphus and you will succeed. This is your homework for tonight. You have to send me an email. That's my email address. On our blog, at the top, there's a link. If you click that link, it will automatically start your email program and with my email address already there. Or if you control-click on it, does any of you have a Mac? Okay, so if you control-click or right-click on that, you can copy the email address right from there if you can't see the slides. But you should be able to see the slides. That's my email address. Email me. And when you email me, tell me that here's my name. And do this after you've created your Google account. So you have your Gmail email address. Be good if you emailed me from your Gmail. Doesn't have to be Gmail, though. You can email me from anything you like. But whatever you email me from, whatever account you email me from, it cannot have your last name in it. That's why I'm suggesting, like, when you create your Gmail account, do first name CM20SF07. That way, guaranteed sure. You know, you're safe. We do this to protect your identity online. Okay? We're going to be very cautious about protecting your identity online. Okay? So first names only. Lots of people in the world have the same first name. As unusual as you think your first name is, and some of you may have unusual first names, we're talking about the world here, and across the world, it's not so unusual. Okay? So email me. When I get that email from you, I will send you an email back. It actually won't come from me. It's going to come from Blogger. So you have to do these two things first, really. I probably should have moved these things around. We should probably take this and put it over here and take this and put it up here. So your homework should probably look something like this. You get a Google account. Then you get the Blogger account. Those videos are online. Links are in the slides. And then email me. And when I've got your email, tell me. When you email me, say I'm so-and-so in your Period 1 consumer class. Because I have like 100 students emailing me right now as every class is getting set up with their blogs. So I need to know which class you're in. Okay? And you'll get an email back probably from Blogger. That email that you get back is an invitation to the class blog. And inside the email, there's be a link. Just click on the link, and once you've got your Blogger account, you will automatically, it says that you have been invited to join the Consumer Math 20S class blog. And you want to do that. You want to do that. When you do that, your name will appear in this list as well. Okay? So all of you will have your names added to this list. Now, blogging counts for part of your class mark. Okay? Scribe posts count for part of your class mark. There are other things that you'll be doing on the blog that also will count for marks. Okay? So it's kind of important that we get this stuff done pretty quick. Okay? With that said, I think that, are there any questions about any of this? Is there anybody who feels that they would not be able to do this homework tonight? Okay, what's up? Loud? Your computer's broken? Okay, we'll fix that. What's that? Same? Okay. What I can do is, with you guys, if you like, if you come see me at lunch or after school today, we'll sit down and we'll do it right here right away. We'll set you all up, and you'll have it done. Okay? Does that work? What's better, lunch or after school? Lunch? Okay. So I'll see you guys after school, and I'll see you at lunch, and we'll get you set up right quick. It'd probably take 10 minutes, maybe, if that. Okay? Probably less. Are there any other questions? So the rest of you will be able to do your homework tonight. That's your homework assignment. And when I see you guys after school, we will work out a system so that you will not be penalized in any way if you have trouble getting online at home. Okay? So with that said, have a nice day. And don't forget your homework.